ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. Vinishya Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 20, the Lord Vishnu's appearance in the sacrificial arena. Text number 37. The infallible Supreme Personality of Godhead, having captivated the minds of the king and the priests who were present, returned to his abode in the spiritual sky. Translation. King Prithu then offered his respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the Supreme Lord of all demigods. Although not an object of material vision, the Lord revealed himself to the sight of Maharaj Prithu. After offering obeisances to the king returned to his home. Omagyanati mirandasya janaganaslakayam taksus miritam jena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri kishana manabhisam shabitam jena bhutale svayam upakaramaya dadat visapadantikam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Adaita Garadha Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So out of love, the Lord reciprocates with his devotees. No one can check. No one can bring their own controlling influence into the activities of the Lord. We may be able to control some other living entity, like our dog, sit, stand, walk, but we can't control the Lord. He's free, completely free, to do as whatever he likes. Sometimes people will say, oh, you know, God can't come to this world. Why not? He can do what he wants to do. Generally, he's not manifest, that's being explained here, because of our impure vision. Even Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita, he had to get the Divya Jnana, the transcendental vision from the Lord, in order to see his universal form. So, in order to realize that he was the Supreme. Otherwise, we'll see Krishna just as an ordinary person. But here, he became manifest, even to the priestly class, who are not considered pure devotees, but by the association of Maharaj Prithu, they could also have a vision of the Lord. So this is a special mercy. Therefore, we want also to be able to see the Lord, then we have to get the mercy of the devotees. This is the process. We should never think that we can directly. When Srila Bhakti Siddhanta was traveling in South India preaching, so many sadhus and so on were brought to him because he was a famous head of the Gaudiya Math. So he was well known then, so people came with their sadhus and so on. And the first question he would ask them, under whose guidance are you executing your devotional service? Oh, no, no, I'm a Ram Bhakta. Then he would reject it. You can't just be directly the Bhakta of the Lord. You have to, first of all, serve the servant of the Lord. Then the Lord may be pleased with you. So this is our process. I was just reading how Srila Prabhupada was seeing Krishna. I never heard this pastime before. It's quite impressive. In Hawaii, Srila Prabhupada was in his room and he was seeing Krishna out the window, dancing on the grass or something. And he was just crying, crying. And the devotees were also got involved in him crying. So, but when he said, what is it, Prabhupada? Sudama asked him, what is it, Prabhupada? He said, I'm seeing, by the mercy of my spiritual master, I'm seeing Krishna. He never forgot his spiritual master. He didn't say, oh yes, I'm seeing Krishna. No. He was remembering his spiritual master. So that's the process. We may have direct access to Krishna by good fortune. But we never think that this is just without the mercy of my spiritual master. When Sanjaya was seeing Krishna to repeat Bhagavad Gita to Dhritarashtra, he was directly seeing Krishna. But he was admitting, by the mercy of Vyasa, and Jairus, the disciple of Yeshua. So this is a very important point. We always have to keep that move, that we are simply, our real identity is that we're a servant of the servant. If we forget that mood, then how can we expect to get mercy? So, another point here, how the Lord is infallible, but we're not infallible. What? The idea is that a living entity is small, but because he's small, he can become separated. Prabhupada used to give the example of the spark in the fire. It would be separated. It can be separated. So, the living entity can be separated by misuse of independence. But the Lord is never subjected to fall down. Therefore, he is called a chuta. Of course, sometimes the question comes, well, how can the living entity fall down, being in the presence of the Lord? So, well, we should understand that the even in the spiritual world, the independence is still there. Otherwise, the inhabitants of the spiritual world would become robots. If they didn't have a choice whether to love the God Lord or not, then how would that be very pleasing to the Lord? If the living entity is forced to show affection, then it takes away the real meaning of love. Because we all experience that love is voluntary. But we don't find love here in the material world. That's the problem. I was just reading last night a nice pastime by Mother Maliki. Her remembrances of Srila Prabhupada. And she confessed like that. She said, when Prabhupada would say something, he would just say it in a normal way, but it seemed like it was it carried much great weight because of Prabhupada's presence and Prabhupada's way of speaking. Whatever he said, it would be something that would penetrate into our consciousness, and it would make an impression on us. But she gave the example that he might say, "Oh, today it's raining," but the way he said it, although he said it just in a normal way, but it somehow it would make an impression. So she said that one of the first important realizations she got was when Srila Prabhupada said, in that kind of same way, like he would say, "Today it's raining," he said, "There's no love in the material world." And for most of us, that's a great shock, because we're all, and she confessed that was her hang up too, you can say. Everybody's hung up on this idea of love. We're looking for love here. But it never really works, right? We love somebody, and then they don't love us properly in return, or we don't feel they do. So there's always something missing there. Or somebody loves us and we don't feel the same way about them, and there's always some problem. So she said when Prabhupada said like that, then she felt some relief. Oh, there don't have to be an anxiety. Does he love me or does he write about him? That goes on in this world. So much energy goes into this, right? This business of so-called love. So we can be aloof from that. We don't expect to find love here in the material world. But there is such a thing as love. That's a fact. But we should go for that. We should qualify ourselves to develop the proper relationship with Srila Prabhupada so we can love him. He's worthy of our love. And he'll reciprocate. Then she went on to tell a nice pastime that she was cooking for Srila Prabhupada in Mayapur. And at the same time, her husband was there. She had a small child. And the facilities were not good. They were living, Prabhupada was living in the straw house there, kutir. And to cook, she had two buckets of water, and someone would come and take one bucket for something. And so there was a very difficult condition for her to cook for Srila Prabhupada. And she was thinking that she wasn't doing it properly. She wasn't doing the service. And so she was going to tell Prabhupada that I think I shouldn't do this. You should get someone to cook, some man to cook, and he can be more efficient. Although she was always thinking about it in her service, she was dedicated to it, but she just felt that she was over, it was too much. She was not able to do it nicely. So she wanted to say to Prabhupada, but that day, Prabhupada's godbrothers were coming, some group of godbrothers were coming to meet Srila Prabhupada, and she thought, well, I don't have to say anything because obviously she's not going to have me cook for them because I'm a woman. You know, and they were going to criticize it. He has a woman cook, something like that, or something. Criticism. Because it's Bengal or in India, you know, for sannyasi to have a woman cook. So anyway, like that, she was thinking, well, today, certainly. But immediately when she came in, Prabhupada said, so, what would be the menu? And he started engaging her in how to prepare a nice menu for where the guests that would come. So she naturally had to surrender. So she was cooking, and then she made the plate, you know, to offer to Prabhupada, and she brought it, and all the godbrothers were there. And, you know, she had her sari over her head, she came kind of crawling in, and Srila Prabhupada said, yes, my cook is a woman, but she would, for my pleasure, she would cut her throat. And I would do the same for her. And can you imagine your promise ring? And Malati was saying, on her way out, you know, she said her sari was full of tears, and she was experiencing a little bit what is real love. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Yeah.
So somehow or other, Srila Prabhupada obliged us to understand that there really is love, but not here in this mundane relationships that we see. So a lot of times people become discouraged by these kind of statements when Prabhupada says there's no love in the material world. And then we become defensive and we think, because we take some kind of sentiment thing that this is love, but there's really no love. It's the truth. But it doesn't mean that there is no love. We're just looking in the wrong direction. And when we develop our love to Srila Prabhupada, to Krishna, then we'll see that we can love everyone. This is the idea. But not out of some sentiment, not out of some material sentiment, but out of real spiritual sentiment. So we're just beginning to enter into this house of bhakti. No one should think that we're very advanced in this science. It's a great science, and by Srila Prabhupada's mercy, we have access to it, but we should keep ourselves very humble, and don't think that we're experts, like Lord Brahma. When Krishna stole the cowherd boys of calves, and he came back, and he was bewildered. What happened? How are they here? I just took them. And then he had to go to Krishna and fall on his feet and offer prayer. And one of the prayers he offered was, let others say that they know Krishna, but I can never claim that. Your father used to say that also. I don't claim to know Krishna. I only know my spiritual master by his mercy. He's kindly become manifest to me. And so he's inspiring me. And then by his mercy, I may, in some future date, become a knower of Krishna, as much as Krishna wants to reveal himself. So in this way, we should always see. And this was Prabhupada's food. For preaching, of course, he had to take a strong position. But that was only as his service. It was always clear that that was his service. When he was challenged, when he was explaining the Varnashram Dharma, how the different class of men, Brahman first class, Kshatriya second class, Vaishya third class, Sudra fourth class. Then he was challenged by the communist students. Well, what are you? You're supposed to be first class or something? And Prabhupada immediately responded, no, I am fifth class. Because I'm serving the fourth class. So, there was no false ego. Prabhupada was maybe taking a superior position for teaching. But that was only as a service. Otherwise, on his own account, he had no false ego. He was simply thinking himself as a servant of the servant of the servant. So we have to keep ourselves in that mood, that humble mood. And then the Lord may be inclined to reveal himself little by little as we purify our heart, as we get rid of the dirty things. But the chanting also has to be done in a humble state of mind. Why Lord Chaitanya stresses that? Janarapi sanuchaya, tayorapi sanishana, amanina, manadina, kirtana yasara hari. How we have to chant in a humble state of mind so that the Lord will be happy to reveal himself. So this is the great art. How to keep ourselves humble, at the same time to preach. Because generally the preacher is given recognition. He sits in a big seat, somebody gives him a garland. And so you can easily think, oh, I'm important. This is a very dangerous mentality. We should always remember that it's simply the mercy that we're allowed any access to this process. Okay, any questions?
That's between the disciple in the spiritual world and the spiritual master, then, as the story you told, really doesn't exist on this world. Prabhupada said there's no love in this world. That means that the relationship between guru and disciple is actually transcendental love.
Yes, not of this world, that's right. Just like Prabhupada used to say, the temples are not of this world. This is not the palace that we're sitting in. We're sitting in Vaikuntha, the spiritual world. I remember once in Bombay, Srila Prabhupada just moved into his quarters at the top of the new tower building. How many of you have been to a Bombay project? So that building was just open, and then the Prabhupada's quarters was made very nicely, and I had come to visit, and I came in and paid my obeisances, and I put my head up and I said, I looked and saw such a beautiful, I said, Vaikuntha. And Prabhupada said, he kind of heard it, but he wanted me to say it again. What was that? I said, Vaikuntha. And he just smiled. So that was Vaikuntha. In Prabhupada's room, you were no longer in the material world. In Prabhupada's presence. Isn't that this verse like that? In the Bhagavatam? Wherever you are, that place is the Vrindavan. Spiritual world. This is the position of the pure devotee. He can bring the spiritual world. Just like he said, this Krishna Balaram land there, Ramanreti, he said, it was neglected, the people used to go there to pay a stool. But now we've made it a transcendental abode. So this is the potency of the pure devotee. He can take the ordinary marble and by the, you could say his desire, the Krishna agrees to come. This is no longer marble here. This is Radha Kalachandra, spiritual. Personalities have agreed to enter. So, yes, we should enter into that abode.
You were explaining how Mother Malti felt that Prabhupada really touched her, like, no, with that pure love. So, is there an intimate pastime that you had such exchanges with Prabhupada?
I don't think I got so much mercy like that. Therefore, she's our GBC. Any other questions?
Once we go back to Godhead, is there any possibility of us ever falling down here?
We won't fall down, no. But at the same time, the living entity always has independence, so we won't, but we could. But we won't. In other words, we can't say that when you go back to the spiritual world, that Krishna will take away your choice. Krishna will take away your freedom. He won't take away your freedom. But because you've experienced this material world, then you can be sure that you won't. It's like if you put your hand in the fire. You won't do it again. And you could, but you won't. Or something like that.
So the nature to forget things is taken away once one goes back to God.
He could say like that. Prabhupada, sometimes he would say, you should go back to God and then you'll see. Okay, anyone else? The Bhagavatam E.
Jai.